Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show.
From Los Angeles, I'm Justin Spakus.
And I'm Zach Birchie. Welcome to AnCast. So, what did we watch this week?
Well, you wanted us to watch Hitman Reborn.
I was curious. I'd heard about it. I sort of, you know, it had been floating around in my headspace for a little while. Like,
and it is really popular in Japan and made the impact on American fandom the size of a cashew.
Yeah.
So, I'll admit, I was curious about it as well. But then you just told me that you watched 10 minutes of it?
Yeah. I'm sorry to say, some things just immediately strike me as, I'm not going to like this. And it wasn't even like I'm not going to like it. It's that I'm going to have no discernible reaction to this at all.
Yeah.
Like, by the end of the opening credits, I was like, am I really gonna sit here and watch it? And it's not that it was bad. It's just that it's such a generic, here's a long-running shonen action show. Here you go. That's what that is.
You know, I'll give it a couple passes, but overall, you're pretty much not far off the mark.
Like I said, I got 10 minutes in, and then there was a new daily show, so I just watched that instead. What, you got two episodes in.
I got two episodes in, and I probably won't watch any more, but it the best parallel I can come up with is Zatch Bell.
Mm.
It's very similar in that the main character is kind of a loser for whatever reason, and then gets a weird toy tie-in sidekick who upends his life and tries to make him a better person. And just like Zatch Bell, I could see, you know, some executive trying to pitch this at NatP or whatever, or a licensing show to American TV executives. And in this case, the American TV executives would go, wait a second. So this little 8-inch tall guy shoots the protagonist with a gun every episode, and it makes him awesome. and makes him rip out of his clothes, so he's like a 14-year-old in his boxers. I mean, and as the episodes go on, it gets less and less saleable to the American market.
Yeah. The thing about this show is that it... Maybe it's just me. I was thinking about this on the drive-in, the multiple drives-in I had to make today. I don't know if it's just a phase you go through in your fandom, and the people who are really into Hitman and something like Fairy Tail or like...
Mar,
or I don't know any fans
of
Mar.
No one's into Mar.
But anyway, so this crop of more recent Shonen Jump long-running action series, to me, are just fundamentally uninteresting. Because there hasn't been a good one since Naruto.
Well, we're also a little too old for
it. I don't know if it's just that we're too old for it, but these seem generic. And not only that, but the reason that I'm thinking maybe it's not just that we're too old for it, none of these shows have had an impact on American fandom at all. Like, I don't know any Hitman fans.
Yeah, I don't either. But the thing is, watching Hitman, I could picture myself watching it, not loving it, but at least liking it if I was 15.
But that doesn't explain why no one... It's not Bleach, it's not Naruto, it's not even a One Piece.
Well,
terms of fandom.
I think culturally... Well, first of all, it's... the setup is that it's somehow mafia-related.
Yeah.
And it's Italian mafia. It's not Yakuza, it's Italian mafia.
Right.
This show has as much to do with the Italian mafia as One Piece does with pirates. Or Naruto does with actual ninjas.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, it's sort of like Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo in that it's so obviously for kids and goes for such the easy, obvious jokes and is very repetitive. And if you're a kid and you have that sort of attention span, it's fine. But after you've seen it once, I mean, there's really very little new here for anybody who's a seasoned anime fan.
Yeah.
In any sense. So, you know, I would categorize this along with, like, Ranma TV.
To me, like, the parallel is Hunter x Hunter.
See, I like Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah, we're right. It's not bad. It doesn't really make an impact on you. Like,
right.
I didn't think much of it. But I knew it wasn't bad. I just didn't care. I'd like to think that somewhere down the line, another totally awesome, you know, show that's as good as the early seasons of Naruto or One Piece or even like Rōnin Kenshin will come out and I'll get into it and watch 200 episodes of it or whatever. Or maybe those days are over. I don't know.
I would argue that if you saw Kenshin today, you would be pretty bored with it.
I mean, I saw the good part of it, the Kyoto arc,
right?
About a year and a half ago, and I was still pretty.
Well, that's the Kyoto arc. But if you were coming into it from episode one,
the first season, the first like 20 episodes of Kenshin are
basically
pretty...
the only good part of that show is the Kyoto arc.
Yeah, but it's really good.
It's amazing, but you know, you had to get through 30 odd episodes to get to it.
Yeah.
And you know, today you would never get through 30 episodes.
That's true. I am sure at some point Hitman becomes totally awesome and amazing, and people just rave about it. But...
so far, no one has. So
yeah,
maybe
that's
not.
The thing. I'm just not seeing the fandom.
All I see in the only sign that I have ever seen that this show has any audience at all. Or the sheer number of Japanese toys I've seen.
Yeah, well, obviously it's big among Japanese kids, so great. Right. Good for them.
Yeah, it's very Japanese. And normally, this would be the sort of thing that I would say, hey, chop it up a little, dub it, put it on kids' TV here, problem solved. Mm-hmm. This isn't something for the fan base, this isn't something for the hardcore otaku who will watch it subtitled, this is something for the mainstream, but it's too Japanese for that.
They tried with Zatch Bell, it didn't work.
Right, exactly, and I could... Yeah, I could literally see like the key art decorating the booth at the big trade shows, trying to get some American executive interested. This is just not a good fit for the American market, and it wasn't strong enough to overcome that bad fit. And so it's kind of, you know, Crunchyroll has kind of become their garbage disposal, and that's kind of sad.
Right. So did you watch anything else? Anything? We sort of branched off and watched some different stuff this week.
But. Yeah, I finally got my DVDs of Honey and Clover, the first two boxes. And I have to say, I'm pissed off.
Why?
I love this show. And, you know, people were bitching about the subtitles because, you know, Viz kind of over-adapts them by everyone in Japan addresses everyone by their family name. So everyone becomes their given name in the subtitles, even though the Japanese are clearly saying something else.
Yeah.
That's just kind of the old-fashioned way of doing it, and Viz is known for not really keeping up with modern standards.
Yeah.
But, hey, it is what it is. It didn't bother me that much. The translation was pretty spot
on
otherwise.
So what pissed you off?
The dub.
Is it really that bad?
No, it's not that bad. But you know how, and this is a very... This happens with a lot of dub studios, but I definitely notice it more with Ocean dubs. You know how... No one actually acts in, like, kind of the mid-range dubs. No one actually acts. Everyone just talks in this really affected voice, and they're not really acting. And, you know, there's no character development. There's no intimacy with the characters. It's just kind of meh. You're Shatnerizing a line read is what you're doing. And for a show as character-driven and as dependent on nuance as Honey and Clover is, it's lethal. This show is not watchable dubbed, even though the dub itself isn't horrid. It's just enough to kill it.
Bad fit for the show.
Horrible fit for the show. And really, you know, the only stuff that sort of thing, that sort of lazy work would be acceptable for would be like, you know, Hitman.
Right.
Where, you know, all the emotion is really obvious and, you know, worn on its sleeve. Anything with the least bit of subtlety, death.
Yeah, so it's sort of an Evangelion scenario.
Oh, you're going to get some hate mail.
That's what happened to Evangelion.
I will not disagree, but you know, at least
let's just yank all the subtlety out of this thing.
At least Evangelion had like a hardcore rewrite to at least force the subtlety to the surface.
Yeah,
this doesn't. This is them reading the subtitle script in a booth, rewriting slightly for lip flap.
Yeah, that sounds pretty wretched.
It's just anger. What did you watch?
A couple of things. I'm doing some reviews lately just to shake off the dust. Every now and then I gotta, you know, go back to it and get my writing back up. First I watched Rin, Daughters of Mnemosyne.
I read your review of it.
Yep, it's, I actually took a little shit for saying I didn't hate it. I guess people sort of expected me to be up in arms about the sexuality or whatever that's in it, but it's so ridiculous and obviously not... I mean, you can't take it seriously for even a second. If I were actually to be offended by that, I'd be so lame. I'd be so lame. Like, if you're not laughing at Rin, you don't get it.
Well, like, what kind of things are we talking about here?
Well, Well, in the first episode, there's involuntary nipple piercing and plenty of... basically, the main character spends most of the show being sexually abused and shot to pieces. It's so over the top as to be ridiculous. The violence is so... It's like a trauma film. Like, you cannot take it seriously.
hopefully the pacing's better.
It is meant... Yeah, the pacing's actually fine, and that's one of the things that kept me watching it, was the crazy story. You just kind of want to know what the hell is going to happen next. And you're so desensitized. Not only that, if somebody actually finds the show sexy or the sex, like, titillating, I mean, it's they're not even shading these characters. So it's just a flesh ball with a pink circle in the middle of it. It barely registers as a breast in your head, you know? It's cheaply drawn and cheaply done. The animation's really nice, but there's nothing...
It's just done with flood film.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Like, I have to give it a pass because it's so cheesy and over the top and silly. And the show clearly wants to be taken seriously. But I think if you do, that's just death. Like,
it's like a hentai that wants to be taken seriously.
Sort of. Yeah, sort of. Except the ending gets into all this weird End of Evangelion style sex apocalypse shit where it's like the end of the world. And
I'd imagine it's hard to care about the characters as much as you did in Evangelion.
No, I didn't care about the characters in this thing at all. The lead character was nice and everything. And it was a good characterization. It was decently written, but at no point are you allowed anywhere near this character enough to care about it. So, whatever, Rin. Yeah, if you're over 18 and you want some schlock, go check out Rin. Speaking of over 18, the other thing I watched was Dante's Inferno, the partially Japanese animated anthology film. It's not really an anthology film because it's just the video game version of Dante's Inferno retold as an anime.
Okay.
When they say it's like vignettes or whatever, yeah, the character designs change and the animation quality changes based on the level of hell that he's in. Mm-hmm. But there's two segments that I would almost recommend buying it just to see. Manglobe segment, which is the second one. Production IG's is the final one, and it's okay. It's kind of weak. I didn't really like their design for Dante, but the Manglobe one is so good that, I mean, at least rent it for that.
Really?
Yeah, at least rent it just for that. And then, like, if someone went to Man Club and said, could you just do the whole movie like that? That would be awesome. I mean, it's silly and over the top. They rewrote it so that Dante is a warrior from the Crusades who had some bloody past, and as he goes through hell, like, he revisits all the terrible things he did during the Crusades and stuff. It's not... The book is... The book is barely represented.
Okay, fair enough.
In this thing, but it's got some really cool visuals, and if you like the kind of monster bullshit that you see in like Berserk or Hellsing, you'll get something out of it. So, like I said, that second segment is good enough to give it a rent, I would say.
I see. You know, one thing I was thinking about a lot this week is these shows that are kind of stabs at the mainstream.
Like Hitman.
Like Hitman, and even like Dante's on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
None of them are really strong enough to really kind of act as a gateway drug.
Yeah, I would argue Dante's probably has a shot because it's going to be in video stores and on Netflix and stuff. And I don't think it's going to bring anyone new to the fold, but I wouldn't compare it to Hitman. Okay, but what you're talking about is stuff like Hitman and Gintama and...
Right. Well, I was doing some research this week, and one thing I noticed is, you know, for years and years we've been, you know, it's been drilled into our heads by both fans and industry alike that everything's fansubs, that's what's causing the decrease in sales across the board. And this week I noticed something kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
Fan subs are not doing as well as they used to.
Mm.
Now, I don't know how much of that to ascribe to the presence of Crunchyroll and legal streaming, but the overall, like, a new show, like, say, a brand new show that people are excited about, right now it's getting maybe 40 to 50,000 downloads.
Right, and in the past it was what?
First episode easily hit 200.
Right.
200,000, and then and then after it plateaued, it would drop down to maybe, you know, 80. Mm-hmm. For a middle of the road show,
but like a Naruto would be like 500,000.
Naruto would easily hit 500,000,
yeah.
Occasionally going up to 750,000.
Yeah,
and Bleach would get, you know, pretty dependably half a million. Now we have Bleach struggling to get to like 180,000
for the fan subs or the streaming rip. Or no, they still fan sub Bleach. Right?
Yeah, they still fan sub Bleach because they're not doing day and date with it, unlike right. Naruto. So. What we're really seeing here is quite literally less people watching anime.
Right. Do you think the fan base is shrinking?
I would argue that it might be. simply because...
This is all circumstantial evidence anyway.
But it is, but the number of people going to conventions has kind of plateaued over the last few years.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing else is growing. It would seem like... It would seem almost like there's always a churn with anime. There's always, like, kids who hit, like, 23, 24, and they kind of outgrow it or they get out of it for whatever reason, and they stop following it. And because there's been no new gateway drugs that are really good for the last 5 years or so, the fan recruitment is probably leveled off a bit, and, you know, nobody's stumbling on it on Cartoon Network as much as they used to. So there's probably been not a whole lot of kids to replace them.
Yeah, you know, the gateway drug thing really... I mean, we've talked about this in the show quite a bit, about how there hasn't really been a hit show. I think not so much hit show. There hasn't been something like... If somebody came up to me and said, hey, I want to get this person into anime, what do I show them? Right now, I would say show them the original Fullmetal Alchemist and show them Death Note and maybe start them out with Miyazaki feature. After that, and they go, okay, well, they liked all that. Where do I go from here? Fuck, I don't know. You want to watch some stuff from the 90s?
Well, see, that's the thing. In the 90s, we had so many shows that we could choose from to get people hooked. Like, my easy go-to was Macross Plus.
Yeah.
It was non-threatening. It had a very Hollywood feel to it, but it was good and original and... something that you couldn't really easily get from American pop culture either.
Or even though we were complaining about the early season of Kenshin, I could still show that to somebody, and it's cool, it's got a samurai, there's action, the stories are contained. You know, I could just say, this is anime, here, check this out.
There was an overall cool factor to it that is completely gone now.
Yeah, yeah.
Among us fans, everyone thinks that it's cool still, but if you showed it to an outsider, no one would really make that leap.
Actually, here's a question for you. Would you use Makoto Shinkai films to get anyone into anime? Because I sure as hell would not.
No.
I don't know. For some reason, I can't vocalize why that is. Like, it feels like it's Miyazaki movies for otaku.
Well, that's the thing.
It's not accessible.
Yeah, that's the thing. All the Shinkai stuff is, like, you know, this quiet, yearning kind of disappointment with life done pretty.
Yeah.
And either you relate to that strongly or you don't at all.
Yeah.
And I would say that over half the population would not.
Yeah.
At least in America.
It's just not something I would use. And so, like, I'm looking at, you know, the upcoming season and stuff like that. The show, I think, if it didn't start out so fucking confusing and weird, that I would use would be Baccano.
Yeah.
But I would have to say, okay, you have to watch 4. But I don't want to have to tell somebody you have to watch 4.
Yeah, especially these days. You're lucky if they'll get through an episode.
Yeah. The other disappointing thing is, if I were to say, okay, well, I want to get someone into anime, okay, Evangelion 1.0. Well, no. Because it's a weird recap. Like, I'd rather just show them the TV show.
Yeah, it doesn't stand alone well.
You know, and then show them the movies, and then they can get excited for the second one, which is what everyone, you know, is talking about.
Right.
So it's this weird thing where, like... Even if I was going to get someone into Miyazaki, I sure as fuck wouldn't show them Howl's Moving Castle.
No.
You know, I'd start with Nausicaa.
Or Ponyo, unless they're like 20, unless they're 5.
Yeah, or Ponyo. We take a lot of shit for bagging on Miyazaki's more recent work here, but at the same time, if I had a total newbie and I just wanted to get him into anime, it was way easier in the early part of the 2000s than in the 90s. And the fact that after FMA and Death Note, I don't know where to go from there, let's get some more... I don't know what Western friendly stuff. I don't know that we have an answer to this.
I don't think we do. I think this is just as the industry in Japan has gotten more, you know, they're relying more and more on the otaku crowd. You know, their motto over there is Cool Japan. That's how they market their pop culture overseas. But the thing is, if you look at, you know, the average, dating sim turned late night anime. I'm sorry, there's nothing cool about that. I define cool as characters that I wish that I kind of aspire to be like. Mm. I mean, that's what Naruto is for kids. That's what, you know, Spike Spiegel is. He is cool. He is badass. Doormat guy with 5 girls chasing after him. Not cool. Kind of sad.
Well, I don't know that I would go quite that far. Those shows have their audience, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, you know, rip on them or anything like that for not being what we think should run on Adult Swim or whatever. And that's fine that they have their audience. The problem is, I think that they've steered completely too far in that direction. And so now, you know, just to make, oh God, we got to sell some character goods or we're going to go out of business. You know, so they keep turning that shit out.
Right. And I didn't mean to imply that everyone who is into that is a loser. More like the average American, if they saw that, would probably think that.
Yeah, right. It's not what you would use to get someone into anime, since that's all the new stuff.
Right.
So that's the conclusion we can come to here, is that because all of the new stuff is otaku-friendly stuff that you wouldn't use to introduce somebody to why anime is cool or why someone should watch it. So that's the rut we're in.
Well, the good news is that tech is starting to backfire in Japan.
Yeah.
So maybe some of these companies will start taking some creative and risky creative choices again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of this, you know, the fan pandering late night stuff comes out on it. They're infomercials for the DVD.
Yeah.
Is what they are. And the DVD comes out, and some of them have just, actually, a good majority of them are just falling on their face.
Yeah.
They're doing like Rumiko Takahashi anthology numbers.
Right. At the same time, though, I will say that after I showed somebody, you know, Full Metal and Death Note and a couple of Miyazakis, I might consider showing him Haruhi Suzumiya. Like, I would consider that for a few.
I don't really consider that a part of that problem.
If I were to pick an otaku-y show.
Right, right.
To show somebody and saying, this is kind of what they're really into.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I would use. Because it is quality.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, anyway, so please talk about that in the forums. What would you use to introduce someone into anime in 2010? You know, from the last 2 years or so.
Or even 5 years.
Or even
'cause right now I'm reaching for my Memories DVD.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's get to the guest.
Yep.
It seems you have enjoyed the gift that I gave you.
Yes. Thanks to that, I now have the power to defeat you.
Well, that power is quite something. But I am beloved by the night. You will taste my powers.
I'll kill you and the night!
Interesting.
So we're back, and joining us this week is esteemed voice actor and director Liam O'Brien.
Howdy doody. How's everybody?
Pretty good, pretty good. We're having sort of a weird day here today. I managed to forget the recording equipment back in my apartment, and so I had to drive back and forth from Orange County to Los Angeles. So.
And we're recording this segment first.
Yes, it's super fun, but thank you very much for being
sure,
here.
Sure, sure. Happy. I've been listening to every episode.
Oh, well, thanks.
I am a fan.
Honored and apologize for all the time you've wasted.
Thank you. Thankfully, the clouds didn't dump on you on your way down or back.
It'll get me on the way back home.
Yeah.
It's starting to rain any second.
So, okay, give us the obligatory, how'd you get started? You know, you have an atypical story, I think.
Getting into voice acting, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I started in theater. I went to NYU for theater. I thought I was going to be a serious stage actor. I remember I was into anime when I was a kid, like, you know, all kids are. And I remember figuring out that Central Park Media was in New York. And sending a letter just as like an idiot kid going, I'm going to acting school next year and I would love for you to consider it. And I obviously never heard back and shouldn't have, right? That's the thing you're not supposed to do. So went to school for theater, plunked around on stage, off Broadway and at regionals. And eventually I wound up in Cincinnati doing a four-man version of Romeo and Juliet. And the nurse to my Juliet was Crispin Freeman. He'd been at it for 2 years. He wasn't quite the force of nature that he is now. And he would show up to rehearsal every day with a different anime t-shirt on.
Yeah.
And just, I remember pointing and saying, hey, isn't that the little rock dude from Mononoke? And then we just started watching stuff together. He started showing me things he thought were cool. And then towards the end of the run, he said, hey, when we get back, I'm going to be auditioning for this thing. Do you want to audition? And that was Boogie Pop Phantom. So yeah, I lucked out because normally, and I still think it's a smart thing to do with a new guy, you give him guy A or, you know, soldier B and try them out. But they gave me sort of a juicier role and it worked. And I plunked around in New York with what little there was. And then my wife and I decided to make the move out here. And it's just sort of trying to say snowballed is the phrase that I want. It's snowballed from there.
Well, this is the anime industry. We could use steamrolled
or steamballed. I'm curious to see what steamballed.
So since you moved out here, how's that working out for you?
Good, very good. I sort of made ends meet on the side and did voice acting when I could, and then eventually I did most of my work in the beginning, or like half of it, with New Gen, working on New Gen shows. And after about a year, They tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, would you like to try your hand at directing? They gave me one episode. They typically have you write and direct for them. And so they gave me a Rumiko script. It was the first thing I ever adapted was a Rumiko episode.
Miko Takahashi anthology.
Uh-huh, millions of fans.
Right. And my work instantly became known to every continent. I was getting letters from Somalia. It was great.
DVD sales that could be measured in kilobytes.
But then after that was Koikaze, which was another mainstream, you know, out of the park home run. A show that I love very much to this day. I mean, it is what it is.
In a completely non-creepy way.
In a completely non-creepy way. You know, it's a beautiful, sad, you know, slit your wrist, depressing story.
With great stickers.
With great stickers that I put on the back of my car. lost track of the question. So that turned into directing and writing, and I moved from there on to Naruto. I've adapted like 150 episodes of Naruto at this point. Wow. I think.
Do you get stuck with any of the crappy filler?
Yeah, lots of it. Not crappy. Like, original content. Original content. It's for the kids.
How can he not be stuck with it? There's like 100 episodes of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it shows no sign of slowing down either. I mean, eventually it's got it, right? I mean, I don't want it to, but...
No, Naruto probably has at least another 6 or 7 years left in it.
Oh, yeah.
Probably, the way they drag that out.
Yeah. I mean, they could jump the shark 3 times before they have to...
That show's already jumped the shark for me. Right. I'm so over Naruto. But the kids aren't, so that's good for you.
One is in and out for me. And, you know, I like the people I work with. I like, you know, a lot of their actors, the writers. And I'm happy to only kind of work in this business now. So there's a lot more game stuff, too, and some original animation. So I just get to make my living being a bonehead.
What original stuff are you in?
I play Nightcrawler and Angel in Wolverine and the X-Men.
Oh, that's cool.
Planet Hulk comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Soonish, I think, next month.
Yeah, it's next month, I think.
And I played Heroine, if anyone knows the story of Planet Hulk. And then... just a lot more game stuff, and Darksiders just came out. I'm the lead in that. I still love anime, and I kind of think of it like going to the gym as far as acting chops wise, because it's still the hardest thing to do.
Yeah,
it's like you don't get the thanks for it,
right?
A la paycheck, but it's the hardest thing to do, and I feel like it keeps me sharp for everything else. But I'm happy to do it all. I mean, I'm just a geek, so I love all this stuff.
So so now that you're doing mostly sounds like it's video games now. There's not a ton of anime work out there.
If you were talking about voice acting, then yeah, it's mostly video game work. If you're talking about just working as an actor, writer, or director, it's half and half because of Naruto. I'm one of the writers on Naruto, so that keeps me busy basically all the time.
So tell me about that job. Like when you say I'm writing an episode of Naruto.
Yeah.
But you're not really writing an episode of Naruto,
are you? No, I'm not. No, not at all. I'm like a dialogue editor. I'm good with dialogue. I get a raw translation that sometimes is really good, and sometimes is "I will kill you with sword." And it's a kind of writing. I mean, it's not original writing. There's an artistry to writing dialogue that's going to match the flap that already exists.
Yeah.
One that I don't think everyone can even see. Like you can watch a show and something's wrong, or you think the acting's off, and you don't know all the reasons why it's not good, but scripts can be written for anime where it really looks like the shape of the mouth, and it's like a subconscious thing, but when it's off, you're like, this just isn't good, and you don't know why. I mean, that's one of the reasons why. There are many reasons why, I'm sure.
Or you could do the word fit system and just slow everything down.
I'm actually a big priss, and when I'm working on a show and things don't fit, I just complain to whoever I'm working with, going, his mouth is wide open, and they ended it with the word broom. I mean... broom!
I think all of us have seen some really bad dub rewrites.
Yeah.
Like the ones that, you know, maybe it matches the flap, but it doesn't even sound like they're talking to each other anymore.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the story exists. I'm not a creator. I'm good with dialogue, which I think came from years of you know, working as an actor on them.
You've seen some of the Funimation stuff that they're doing, and it's a rewrite. Like, it is a total...
I've heard about that more than I've seen it. Okay. I used to watch more like dubs and just anime in general when I first got in because I had time to.
Yeah.
Now I have time to do what's on my plate.
And take care of your kid.
That's what I'm saying. That's part of it. I've got two kids who run me ragged. I love them. But Run Me Ragged, and there's luckily it's a steady stream of work. So
you have a toddler and an infant. No one's holding that against you.
Thank God there's unconditional love involved.
Do you, I mean, do you ever wish you had more freedom to adapt the script? I mean, how? I'm assuming you have Japanese overlords that are looking over your shoulder.
I don't have Japanese. Well, I mean, I'm sure there is one up the chain, but yeah. Under the Japanese overlord is his duke, and under the duke is an emissary, and then he's. Yeah. Subcontracting out to like three samurai, and then the samurai is shaking his sword at me. Like it's not so much me wanting to change the content or add in jokes or fix what I think is a broken idea. Sometimes I think working on different shows, there's something that they want to stick religiously to as far as wording or a term, and
believe it.
That's just that just is. Well, I mean, that doesn't even that's its own. That one line is its own specific category, but as far as like attack calls or locations that can't be changed because of agreements, you know, I'm just the hired help. You know, I'm the creative guy who gets pushed around, but there's reasons why they want things to stay the same, and they often don't match the flap. They often sound a little strange, but it, you know, you do your best to work around it.
Yeah. So, I mean, so now you're working on Shippuden, which is the Now, what is it, like 10 years later, 15 years?
Three or four
13 years later.
In the first chunk and then 16 in the second chunk.
Is it better? Are you, how would you compare the two?
It's really the same, with a different coat of paint, yeah. Really. I mean, it's a different point in the story. I don't look at them as different shows.
Why is he 16 and his voice hasn't changed?
Because Miley couldn't let her balls drop far enough to fit down.
So for you, it's just kind of like, all right, it's all one big ball, ball of wax.
It's all the same stuff. I mean, I know that they tagged the word, they tagged the word Shippuden on the end of it, but it's the same characters. They've given them different outfits, and he's a little leaner.
Well, to my knowledge, though, the story did get better, right? Because they had so much crappy filler in there.
There's more. There's more.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't stay.
There's Shippuden filler now, too. I think they've had two, at this point, with the stuff that's come out of Japan, they've had two chunks of filler.
Really?
In the Shippuden.
And, you know, not only that, it's already lost its momentum, and it's still moving the speed of molasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, that's the way these shows go. I mean, One Piece does the same thing. You know, big chunks of kind of awful filler, then the story speeds up again. And,
An attempt to make sure that they don't catch up and run out of stuff to make for animation, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But it doesn't make it fun.
No, I know. Yeah. I like some of them. There's actually, do you guys, either of you watch the show at all, Naruto?
I watched the first, like, four seasons worth, and then I just kind of fell out.
Yeah, I did too. I bailed. I tried to come back to Shippuden after the first, the 3 years of filler, but it just wasn't clicking.
Yeah, I remember
was it 3 years?
yeah, it was.
Almost.
Yeah. Wow. Two years or so. Yeah. I remember turning on the first episode of Shippuden and going, no, I still don't care about any of this.
Some of it's good. I like, in that now that you're telling me 3 years, that three-year period, I really like the comedic ones. There were some one-offs, which were fun. And there is one little episode in Shippuden that they wrote for the character Shikamaru, where they just sort of fleshed it out. They brought in some guest animation team, and it's beautifully done.
I've heard more than one person say that's like one of the best episodes.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah. I asked for it in advance if I could adapt it.
I'm going to have to track that down.
Did you get to do that one really, really horrible filler episode with the Elvis impersonator and where Naruto's peeing on people?
I did adapt that episode.
Yes.
I did.
I remember when the fan subs of that came out and the fan sub were put in the opening credits, this week's episode made me want to die in a fire.
Yeah. Kids are very passionate about the things they love.
So I got to ask you this. I've always had this theory that if I have the TV on and if it, like Cartoon Network is on, I will be able to tell whether or not it's an anime without looking at the screen, because the dialogue just sounds different for a dub. Has that ever occurred to you as being true? Like, say, like there's an episode of whatever Ben 10 or SpongeBob on, just the dialogue, the way it flows, the way people are talking, it will sound fundamentally different from the episode of Yu-Gi-Oh or whatever that's on after it.
I wouldn't say every time.
Maybe not every time.
I mean, because like Mononoke or some of the biggest Chinese, you're not going to know because they had all the budget and the time in the world to work it and finesse it until it sounded great. Or if they didn't want to hurt somebody, a star's feelings, I assume record it and then replace it and record it and replace it so that if figured out what they wanted.
They had a $2 million dub budget on Running Okay, I think.
Oh, man. Oh, man. That sounds good. I mean, because, and I'm delaying here, I figure out how I'm going to answer this, but really, the thing that makes a good dub is time. Time to work it. So, and, you know, working in the business, the more I'm around doing it, the more often than I'd like, we're just moving through.
Mm-hmm. So you really just got to spit it out.
Yeah, you don't have the time.
Not always.
But the budgets, I guess, have shrunk mm-hmm. to the point where, you know, everybody's competing to be the people who record. And so right. it's like you have to move fast to compete.
You don't want Bangs in coming in offering to have their interns do it for free.
Do what? No, you wouldn't want that.
I wasn't going to go there, but thank you.
Sometimes, yes. I guess the answer is yes, because we're not all together.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something that you can't, you know, you just can't deny that human contact. And then they, you know, for original, they animate over it.
Right. Okay. So do you do a lot of conventions?
I don't do a lot. Before I had kids, I didn't get asked much. And as soon as I had kids, I get asked all the time.
Well, now you're such a big part of Naruto that I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, Gaara changed. The part I play changed everything. I don't go, I do like, two or three a year. I'll go if it's somewhere amazing that can't be denied, like Australia or New Zealand, with my family. I mean, that's the caveat. I cannot, as much as I'd love to go out, go drinking and, you know, have my little pocket of pseudo celebrity and get, you know, positive feedback on the stuff we do. I can't justify in my own head going, "Hey, honey, have 3 days to raise the kids. I'll see you when I get back and hopefully I won't be too hungover." I can't do that.
Yeah.
I also need to earn a living. Because my kids are in preschool, I've got to buy diapers. So I've passed the point where I want to go just for the fun of it, and some people ask you just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to make a killing, but I'm looking to, you know, make a day's wages.
Right, yeah, get a check. You
shocking,
know?
Shocking.
You selfish bastard.
So that limits it. I'll do one or two. I try to stay local. I do one in Sacramento, and I'd go back there anytime because that's easy to get to, but I'm not going to be flying to all the different states on a parade.
So, do you have any horrible convention stories for us? Reach into the dark past.
All right, I got three. None of them are terribly horrific. I don't think I go enough to accrue enough crazy things. But there was one time on a convention where I guess he was like 10 or 11, a boy came up to the mic, you know, on the line, and just fixed his eyes on me and said, "I want you. I'm going to get you." He was budding. Romantic life, and thought it'd be a good idea to stand up in front of 500 kids who, well, I guess there wouldn't be too many people who shove them in a locker at an anime convention. But
yeah, at least you won't have to face them going back to school on Monday.
Yeah. It was like a 12-year-old boy trying to seduce me in a large crowd, like a 12-year-old boy trying to, you know, give me eyes.
Wow.
So that was awkward.
I gotta hand it to him. That's ballsy.
And then you take a 5-hour shower.
There was one day at Anime Expo where I was just walking around, and this is someone who's in the industry now and who I think is shows promise as an actor, but came up to me. I think she was just trying to find a way into the business, like I did.
I think I know who you're talking about.
She came up and gave me a Shakespeare doll and like a hand on a stick. She might even be listening to this. Hi. And said, "Here, it's to slap away the fangirls." I don't think there's anything wrong with her giving me those things. I don't think her behavior was terribly crazy compared to the boy on the line. But my wife was with me at the time, and she was like, "Who was that? What was that? What are these? We have to get rid of these." I'm like, "No, it's fine. I did this. I was trying to find an engine."
It sounds to me like family has changed everything for you.
Oh, yeah.
That's a different aspect, because most of the voice actors we talk to are either single or don't have kids.
Yeah, it's
not a common thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, better? Is it, like, do you appreciate that now? Is it tempered, the lifestyle? And, like, you go to a convention and something crazy like that happens, and you're not, like...
I think it keeps me grounded.
Yeah.
I mean, I have friends who I'm close to, who I love, in this town, who I look at and still are like, "Oh, you don't have real problems. Wait till you have your kids, and then you'll have real problems."
Yeah.
But that aside, I mean, a lot of the people out of Texas, I think, are very young. They grab people when they're very young and fresh-faced and want to go to it. So, like, that's just a whole other universe than I'm in now. And I think that this culture is celebrity obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very easy for people to kid themselves into thinking that, you know, we're like mini deities or something, which is ridiculous. I look at myself as like a really skilled craftsman, and I show up and build a table every day, except I'm either directing voiceover or recording voiceover or writing an ADR script.
So it sort of stops being this romantic lifestyle and starts being a job.
Well, it's, yeah, a job that I love to death, but it's not like this rock and roll party where I go. And you know, people are sort of have crafted that life out for themselves. They go to conventions every week.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think that'd be fun because, but yeah, I have responsibilities.
Has this ever caused any friction? Like, have you ever been directing someone and you get the, do you know who I am sort of treatment?
No.
Okay.
No, I've never gotten that.
No prima donnas, huh?
Mm-mm. Well, I won't say that, but never. One's thrown anything in my face. The people who have been the biggest prima donnas for me when directing are not people going to conventions. They're like, there's some actors who are a little older, mm-hmm. who, you know, again, because all the parts are like young heroes, young space babes. So, like, they'll bring in, when we bring in actors who are you know, middle-aged for Naruto, they're not in this universe. They're coming in to do this one job on Naruto, or maybe they're playing the older characters in three shows off and on. So, like, they're not a part of this, but, you know, they're used to working... they're not used to the world of anime. Let's put it with, like, fast budgets and young directors often. And
yeah, I mean, I've sat in on a handful of recording sessions, and one time, I won't name names here, but there was an actor coming in, and he had played the villain in some direct-to-video thing, and he was, mm-hmm. he was, you know, a real actor, you know, that type, and he was doing a voice in the show. And it was, watching him do it was like, remember that Simpsons where Krusty the Clown comes in to record the talking doll and just goes through the cards and then runs out? It was exactly like that. Yeah. So do you get, like, those people sort of, they're sort of above it, like they're better than it, they're just doing it for the check? I mean...
Yes, I hear about it more than I've seen it. Right. I mean, I was working on one original show where, I'm definitely not going to name any names here, but a guy came in, like everyone, we were so buddy-buddy in this room and everyone was having so much fun and joking in between the takes and it was great, and then a guy came in and just went, all the fun just got sucked out of the room because the guy came in and went, bang, 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 and then left, and then we slowly kind of percolated back up to having a good time again.
So tell us about your video game work. You do a lot of that stuff. You're in this game Darksiders, which is a big mainstream thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm seeing it everywhere. What's the difference between doing that and anime? Is it more like doing original work? Are you still matching Lip Flap?
It's more like doing original work. I look at it as two subsections, the work in video games. It's one half of it is just like original, where like there's no constriction. Mm-hmm. It's just whatever, you know, you're there with the producers. They're usually probably going to animate it later. You might be doing it to picture. I'm not talking like localization of Japanese games,
right, yeah,
but
I'm talking
like
about
Western
that.
Games. There's a lot more freedom to, you know, make the performance any way you want to instead of trying to match what's in front of you. So that's easier and that's enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But there, you also have to take into account the all the military stuff there is these days.
Yeah.
And we're all
must
just,
get old.
Oh my God, just more and more. It's almost every week now, like at least every other week I'm in some studio going, fighter at 2 o'clock, fighter at 3 o'clock, and you go through 12. You do all these variations of the same thing.
How do you stay in the space? You know, how do you keep in the when the lines are just kind of seemingly inane? I mean, how do you stay in character?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. And I start to sweat after a while doing that stuff too, because you got to trick your body into thinking that you're there. So I'm like flexing and tensing at my body, like I'm, you know, jumping out of the way of something or a bullet.
All right, well,
that's a job.
Yeah, that's where the real work is. Mm. How tough are those auditions to get those gigs?
Well, there's lots of variation on that too, because for certainly in the world of anime and localization, but even in some of the other places too, you build relationships and they just know what you can do, and sometimes there's no audition, or sometimes they're auditioning just you and another guy because they're like, well, either Jim or Bob can do this and we'll just see which one we like better. So I'm like standing on all the work I've done in the past for those instances. And then for agent submitted auditions, you know, I'm in my underwear in my closet, mm-hmm. and I'm self editing but I know that I'm tossing in with like 200 guys, so I try not to think about it, and
whatever,
you know, it's
comes
like
back,
playing
comes
a slot.
Back.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like playing a slot machine and you pull the, which I don't do, but you pull the lever 50 times, hopefully some coins will come out at some point.
Right. So I've always wanted to ask this, and I don't often get the chance to talk to a voice actor who's really willing to be candid about this sort of thing.
Bring it.
You might not necessarily want to answer this, but
fill it, girl.
One thing I have noticed is that anime voice actors, at least based on the work that I've seen, are not doing the same thing that like a Rob Paulsen or a Jim Cummings would do. Mm-hmm. They're not doing characters. They're not doing voices. It's just them speaking. Like I know, and I this is not to put anyone down or anything, but you know, I can pick out the same 15 guys that are in every show, mm-hmm. and it's just them doing them. You know, there's, and I don't know if that is that a necessitation of the fact that there isn't a lot of character work to be done in anime, or what?
Yeah,
is it?
I mean, I think that's all it is. I don't know a ton of the names of the Japanese performers, but I know their voices.
Yeah.
I hear them over and over again. I go, oh, that's her from that. And I think that character. I wish I was more diligent and knew everyone's names, but I definitely recognize them instantly. And I think it's just the type of, you know, the type of characters and the type of genre you're seeing in anime. I mean, it's the same for a good portion of our stuff too. I mean, if you're looking at the Justice League, no one's putting on a crazy voice. It's just, you know, it's Neil Patrick Harris doing Neil Patrick Harris's voice as the Flash. Now, granted, he's off doing a million other things. He's not in like 20 shows. You're like, oh, it's Neil again. But
I guess like, so it's not an issue of the fact that they don't have range. It's that they're not given the opportunity to show that range.
Well, you know, if you think of American cartoons, there's like, you know, think of Lorenzo Music. If you took a line from Garfield and overdubbed him of Peter Venkman from Ghostbusters, you probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Right, but there are plenty of voice actors that do get a lot of that character work, and they're forced to stretch, and they really have to, you know, and I can pick them out because I'm a fan and know who they are, but your average person isn't really going to be able to pick them out. Whereas I think an anime fan can pretty much pick when Vic Mignogna is in something. Like, they will know. Maybe it's just a necessitation.
Well,
to be
there's
a fan.
Much, there are far fewer of us who get hired a lot.
Over and over again.
And over again, because budgets are so tight. Things are fast, and I can remember from my days of directing wanting to try new people out, and I did try new people out, because I'm like, oh, this person is so good on stage, they're going to be a lock. After trying it, and if you had $2 million, wouldn't matter. You can finesse and go, oh, well, even if I don't bring them back, you know, we work for 4 hours on their 15 lines, and we got it just right, but that doesn't exist for the most part in the anime industry, so it's like, who do I know in our circle? And we do slowly try to, you know, see who's good and pull them in. Like Troy Baker and Roger Craig Smith are two guys who come to mind for like guys who showed up to town and like you give them a little bit and they you run with it and you pull them in, but then they're just like one more on a small boat who can do the work good and fast and still make it sound really good. So I think it's a combination of that and the genre. There's, you know, there's not a ton of anime. They're like Arch or like SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah,
they're more like Batman.
Right.
As far as performance style goes.
So not often are you asked to stretch, basically. It's not.
Not really. I mean, it's different. It's just like different personalities. I mean, I play war, and I'm not big at all.
Right.
and I'm a dweeb. I see myself as a skinny geek, so it always trips me out when I get asked to do that. I'm like, really? Okay. But it's not the kind of vocal gymnastics. Now, I know some people can do that. I mean, like Dave Wittenberg, who works in the business, Steve Bloom, they do have a lot of range. I mean, Steve Bloom, while I know he's got those pipes that makes him sound like Wolverine, I mean, I've heard him do super high-pitched, you know, girly stuff. I know that he can jump all over the place. But I'm not contradicting. You're right. I mean, you do hear the same people over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of necessity.
Yeah, right. And I was just, you know, I always thought, well, is it because these guys don't have any range, or is it just because they're not given the opportunity? So it sounds like it's more the latter.
Yeah, and you get high. I mean, people hire you. People pigeonhole you. And like, who am I to complain? I need to earn a living, and I enjoy acting, and I'll do almost anything you ask me to do.
Right. Which is why I hear Greg Ayer's voice coming out of every spunky kid in every anime.
Yeah, well, they got to keep searching through Texas to find some more spunky kids.
So, living out here, is it tough because you're not in Texas where all the action is for anime? I mean, it sounds like you're doing fine.
Nah, it's not tough. I wish, I mean, I still really like anime and I like working on it. And like I said earlier, I look at it like going to the gym. So I like, you know, working on my skills with a Z, but I have plenty going on. I mean, I like writing and directing, too, and I'm happy to... I don't want to spend my whole year doing that. I don't think I'm there. Mm-hmm. But I do like directing for 2 or 3 weeks. And there are a few of us who are like Swiss Army knives, I think, in the business. Sam Riegel's like that. Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, obviously. I mean, she's more towards director. I'm more towards actor. But we could do any of the three jobs if need be. Cool. I'm just happy to be working.
Okay, well, we should probably get to Twitter. Justin, anything?
No. Anything to plug?
Yeah, any plugs?
Try Darksiders. Look for me in Dragon Age as a depressed wizard.
Oh, yeah, I heard you in that, actually. Do you play your own stuff? Do you watch your own shows?
If I have time, I have a stack of, like, 10 games that that I should get to. I want to get to. I used to play a ton, and just ironically, I work so much in games now. I don't have time to play games. Right now, I'm playing Modern Warfare 2 to kind of get into the military vibe, because I'm probably going to be doing some writing on a military franchise. So
cool. You want to give out your live gamer tag?
No. I'm more of the masturbatory, sit by myself, play as Kratos kind of gamer. I've just started doing a little bit of online play, just more to explore it. You can look at my website, liamobryan.biz. You can find me on Twitter as Voice of O'Brien. You can find me on Facebook. All that you can find on liamobryan.biz.
All right, that's enough plugging.
Sure. Yep.
Okay, Twitter questions.
I like vanilla ice cream. if I could go on a date with any character that I've ever done, it would be with Tsunade, because she's got big boobies. And what do you got?
Okay, from Cadmo Sama, and I think this is also Sidamine's lover, our favorite guy. For the three of you, favorite Greek god or goddess, and favorite dog breed.
What? Favorite Greek god or goddess.
Let me finish this. Liam, I liked you in Monster.
Thank you.
So there you
Thank
go.
You. This is intricately related to the show of Monster, these two questions. I like pugs. Let's start with dogs. I have to think about the other one.
Dog's easy. I'll pick the weeaboo choice, Shiba Inu.
Yeah.
They're really cute.
Yeah, they are really
they
cute.
They are. That's my second, by the way. Shiba Inu.
Yeah, I don't really know them well enough. I'm not a huge dog guy. I'm a bird guy. Mm.
Oh, you guys go first for the gods.
I'll just say Narcissus is for all of us. there you go.
Okay. I don't really pay attention to Greek mythology.
Okay, moving on from Ken Topper. Liam, do you have perfect pitch? Can you speak in the key of C?
No, I don't. I do not.
Doesn't have perfect pitch.
I do not. I can act like a doofus.
Okay.
That's my skill.
From Fantasy Thunder, if you could play any role you missed out on, what would it be? If you could be anything apart from a voice actor, what would it be?
I came in, I think, second place for Ichigo on Bleach.
Oh, really?
And I was in the running for it. Hindsight, that's a lot of episodes, and he yells a lot, so probably nice that I didn't add that to all my military stuff. But I wanted it at the time a lot. Yeah, that'd probably be the biggest one.
And if you could be anything...
Oh, be anything besides this? I thought it was going to be an English professor.
Okay.
I got accepted to Wesleyan, and had I not chickened out on the sort of entertainment business path, I would have just gone there and studied literature or something. Or I'd like a lot of fuck you money, and I'd like to just retire on an island.
Okay. From Mr. Dark Angel, what's a good genre of voice acting to start in if you can't break into the more popular entertainment-driven areas like anime or video games or movies?
Anime counts as more popular entertainment?
I would say. So he probably means not voice acting, but like voice over?
Yeah, it sounds like...
Because he just named all the things that you voice act in, which is animation and games.
Commercials.
And okay, all right.
You could start reading the list of side effects.
I don't know the answer to this, because I sort of pinpointed the people who are doing the work I wanted, and I sanely pursued them. But you could go to Craigslist. People record list things on Craigslist. Just start working at it. Keep taking acting classes, as that's what we always say. Become an actor. Because very few, 2% of the people I know got into it not as actors. I think Dave Wittenberg is the only guy I know who wasn't an actor who got in. He was working in radio. Everyone else did plays. You chased it, took acting classes, all that. There's a magic pill you can take. I'll give it to you for $5,000.
You will make that back as a voice actor in 4 years.
Oh.
Okay, from Jack Cox, are there certain types of characters you like playing over others?
Effeminate fops.
Okay.
Easy. That's it. They're easy and they're fun to do.
You show up with your monocle.
Uh-huh. My crevasse.
All right, from Jimbo Slice, any thoughts on being cast as mentally unstable in most of your roles? Also, I'm a big fan of your work.
This is fun. I don't know. If I have a crappy day, I can pretend to murder somebody. We all want to murder somebody.
There you go.
Some more than others.
Some more than others.
Same guy from Jimbo Slice, you have a large catalog with anime and video game roles. Is one better than the other? Is there a difference playing the same character in a video game as in an anime?
That's interesting.
There's no attack cries in anime, or maybe there's like one scene where you attack and fight. The genres are much different. I'd say I'm doing the same kinds of sounds. That's another reason why maybe you can hear an anime dub while not looking at it, is because, I don't know, everyone does this. We call that jokingly call that the 102, and I don't hear that so much, even though I think it works really well for animation. I do it all the time. in original, but no, but not many people who are not in anime do that. If they say gasp, I'll go, and I just don't think it sells as well. No one does the 102. You get paid better in video games most of the time.
All right. From Nate Lord, has there ever been a character you absolutely hated playing, and if so, why?
You know, the only times I've not liked the role, the work I was doing, was not because of the role, really. It was because of maybe the other people in the room or the script in front of me. Again, like, with anime especially.
DNA squared.
Such a big queen about wanting the adaptation to be solid for dubs that if I'm ever there and things like every line is four words too long or too short, or it ends in an M when it should end in an ah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I get really annoyed. Because you look and sound like an a-hole in the finished product, but no one ever goes, the adaption is terrible. It's just like, why did Liam suck so hard?
Yes. Okay. From Yotaru Vegeta, what difference do you notice between video game fandom and anime fandom? Do fans follow your work in games as closely as they do in anime? Also, he loved you in Persona 3.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anime fans are crazier.
Really? You don't say.
Shock. They're younger. I think they're younger and more, they're very close to the stuff they love. I mean, there's a lot more casual, I guess, game fans. And I don't mean like Wii players, but I don't mean like, I don't know. I just don't think like a God of War, an avid fan of God of War or Gears of War has a pillow with Kratos on it, and you know, like they're surrounded
by. I
do. You do? Does he keep you warm at night?
Yes, I go to sleep with Kratos every night.
Also, video game fans aren't going to go to cons and call you under the carpet for misinterpreting a line.
Yeah, you're not going to get any of that. I had a thought and it just flew out of my head. I think that, I really just think it's because I know there are older anime fans like us, but you really start young, and a lot of people are going to the fans with a starry eyed. You know, it's like their first love. It's so innocent and like enthusiastic. And gamers are more like laid back and judgmental, maybe.
You think so?
Generally?
In general. Okay, well, that's pretty much it. That's all we got. That's all the Twitter questions and emails. So thank you so much for stopping by and chatting with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. And we will see you all next week.